Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Guys, I want to welcome you to another episode of the MI Ice Guys. Tonight in the studio, I have all of the greatest ice fishermen that you will ever meet in your life. Right here, the 2015 guys that are going to show you the best thing, because, you know, the ice didn't show up in 2014. We got Steph, we got Anthony, and Chad. And we're going to have it. I'm Chaz, and I got the control board, the stop button, the volume, and everything. My job over here, manage all the buttons. Chad's going to bang around and make all the weird noises.
Probably
and stuff.
Will do. Yeah.
But guys, hey, welcome back from your latest tournament expedition. And we want to talk a little bit of safety. It's been a weird year. 2014 started off in November with snow. Oh, my God. We set in record, snow.
Record snow.
Deer season was snow. And we were all, well, Anthony, he went fishing, but the rest of us were sitting in snow, watching trees grow.
Watching Anthony fish.
Getting, pictures and videos from Anthony about fishing. And we were all really excited about it and stuff. And then December came and it just kind of went warm on us. It was really tough. But we wanted to talk a little bit about safety, because the ice has been here and gone and here and gone and things like that. And when we were talking earlier, drinking a couple of beers and warming up for the show and stuff, Steph brought up a great point. Get your spud.
Yeah, get out there and check the ice. You use a spud, drill a hole, bring your safety gear, your throw ropes. And if you're like me, I wear a flotation suit when I'm out there early season and late season. So they send me out on the ice first, you know, because they can, if I go through, I'm going to float good.
Yeah.
But I'm still checking the ice as I go, making sure it's safe for everybody else.
Well, you and I have an advantage of having the big feet, so we can get out there and displace our massiveness.
Send the skinniest fat guy, yeah.
But then we send Anthony out because he doesn't even have hair, so he weighs less than everybody. And so, Anthony, now you were out on a couple of private little secret spots, and we won't throw them out there because Chad yells at me every time I tell him where we're going. But what was your caution plan? How did you enter the ice safe? And you got limits.
Yeah, definitely. The biggest precaution that I took was bringing the spud and drilling before you go anywhere. Just because it's good where you're at now doesn't mean 20 yards over it's going to be just as good. So definitely always drill and check.
And no silliness out there. I mean, you're moving careful. And
right, and we usually instill a 10-foot rule on super early ice. You know, I don't like to have a bunch of guys grouped over one hole all next to each other.
Especially my size.
Yeah. I'm a real big negative on that, exactly. Of doing that.
If now, we take my brother Dale.
Oh, Dale, yeah, he institutes the 100-meter rule.
He'll maintain a 50-yard rule around
his bucket and run.
Yeah, he is not the guy that you want to be close to, because he will run away.
And he is a 300-pluser now.
Oh, hey, yes, he did announce that to us.
In. He's in the club. Yes.
He's in the club. But, some of the safety stuff. Now, we went out, and Steph and I did a number of seminars. Chad and Anthony were able to join us for one of them that we did early season here, talking about it. A lot of the sports shops have these seminars. And safety is a very big concern because, you know, for God's sakes, if one of these guys falls through, drowns, and dies or something, I'm going to have to put on a damn tie. Yeah, I don't want to wear a tie.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Nope. And so we want to be cautious as we enter out there onto the ice. Some stuff like the spud is a very good thing. The floating suit that Steph mentioned earlier.
The ice spikes.
Ice spikes. Now, we've all talked about the Cthulhas.
Throw rope.
The HT came out. They brought back their retro midfoot spike, which is a very aggressive spike. And at the shows, we were making sure to tell people.
K&E brought it up.
Stopper. Who did I say?
Stopper.
HT.
Oh my God.
Stopper lures.
No, Jack's going to kill me.
He's going to cut you off.
Forgive me, Jack. But anyway, you know, an aggressive spike out on the ice, one of the points that Steph and I always bring up to people is they're self-cleaning.
Yeah, you're not going to get a pack up of snow underneath them, so they're going to that stuff's going to fall out, and they're going to keep giving you traction as you walk across the ice.
You know, we use the chain-based Cthulhas, most of us do, and they're very nice because, you know, you walk around and the chains kind of hang loose. They jingle. You feel like Festus.
Just don't kick holes out with them or break them.
Yeah, don't do that.
I've done that a couple times.
But, you know, picking out your spike, you know, all of us have probably done that half slip and fall. And you can pull something that way. We're all getting to be the age where we don't recover quite. Yeah, we don't recover quick as. And when you're as tall as Steph and in the club, when you impact that ice, there's going to be consequences, either on your body or the swimming lesson that's going to ensue. The ropes that Chad mentioned, and Steph has a really great tip that we try and share often about his sled.
Oh, yeah. I got a jet sled, and I like to tie a rope to the back and the front, so when you're walking down steep hills and such, you can grab that back rope and walk down the hill without your sled going out of control out in front of you there. You can just guide it on down. But it also comes in good for safety rescue because you can whip that sled around with the front of the rope and sling the back rope over to somebody and pull them out with the...
Well, you know, my dad, when we were growing up, he always told us, well, use your auger to pull them through. Yeah. Well, Dad's auger was not as sharp as the augers that we're using. Question is always, who gets the sharp end?
You don't want to try that these days with today's augers.
No, so I carry a throw rope in my pocket. We all have sleds that we carry and various things that we could rescue somebody if we needed to. We don't want to see them go gurgle, gurgle, and done. But there's some other things. Now, Anthony, what other piece of safety gear would you advise everybody had?
Well, if you have your sled and your ATVs out on the ice, they make a product called the Nebulous, which is a flotation device for your
quad
and
or snowmobile.
Yeah,
well, here in the great state of Michigan, I know that the DNR takes a very dim look to you.
They find you pretty heavily
by the day, I understand.
Yeah, so you don't want to leave it in the drink.
Yeah. Just don't tell anybody.
Now, Chad, of the four of us, you're the only one that has procreated and has offspring that he's admitting to with the same last name and everything. Now, I know that Steph takes nieces and nephews out all the time. A lot of our guys that listen have kids that they want to introduce into our great sport. What's the number one piece of advice that you can give them about bringing the kids out with you?
Well, just make sure they're behind you and check the ice before they go out. Don't want them to get too far. And avoid any place that has 10-inch ice auger holes. Most kids can fall through them. You don't want that.
Yeah,
ain't coming back up.
Back to our wonderful tales that we've told you before about our 4- and 5-inch augers that we really love.
Yeah, one of the
6-inch augers I would recommend.
Yeah.
Just ask Aaron Berg about a 5-incher. He's not happy.
When we do that.
We're going to tell that story a little later?
Yeah, he should have got second.
When we do the kids' ice camp, one of the first rules we initiate is don't step in an ice hole. So pay attention to where you're stepping because you don't want to step in any ice hole regardless of the size when you're a little kid. You get a wet foot, it's going to end your day, and you're not going to have a happy camper on your hands.
Yep.
Well, I remember 3 or 4 years ago when I was out with you guys, at least out with Steph that day, and I slipped and fell before my Cthulhu days, and I got wet, and man, that ruins your day. Mm-hmm. So not only do you really want to make sure you got some rescue gear, picks? You know, we all carry the picks in early season and such. And Chad was mentioning that a number of the suits now are starting to come with picks that are integrated into them and stuff. And everybody's concerned that they want repeat customers. I mean, we're just going to call it capitalism right there. If you're dead, you aren't buying more ice fishing gear. And so we want you guys to be safe when you're out there. There's things like the throw ropes, the cotolas that we can harp and harp and harp on, all that stuff. Number one thing that we like to do is recommend that you make sure it is safe ice, safe thickness of ice.
And post your ice thicknesses out there so you can help others.
Oh, our ice map is an excellent way to do that. And if you guys have not posted it, I don't even care if it's the zero, just skim ice. You know, there's a place for comments. When you post thickness to the MI Ice Guys ice map, get out there, share the word, because I've been watching some of the forums, and the number one thing everybody's asking, anybody got ice? So that's an excellent way to very quickly do it. And
it's coming.
It's coming. I've seen the forecasts.
Awesome looking.
The cute redhead over to Channel 13 told me, don't worry, there's going to be plenty of ice. You know, and I believe cute redheads.
That's because you're a sucker.
Well, you're drinking amber teas, so.
So? Well, guys. Anthony's a sucker for a redhead, I hear, too.
That is a truth. Yes. True statement.
He married one, so.
True.
Well, yeah. Anyway, guys, we're the MI Ice guys, and safety is a big thing on our minds. Dry set of clothes in the truck. You can go on and on with all the different things and stuff, but just being smart about it is going to be your number one tool. Taking a buddy with you. Don't go alone. Make sure there's somebody that can help you if you can't help yourself. And we're going to take a quick break, have a sip of beer, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit NAIFC. We got some big news from the recent competition and the upcoming events. Yeah, you could help anytime, Chad.
Upcoming events.
We're going to talk about those. As well as Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
And Anthony, I think they got some other big news that happened. And Steph, he's got some news about some upcoming local tournaments, too. So we'll be right back. You're listening to MI Ice Guys, podcasting hired water fishing. Please, please put your ice thickness up on that map.
Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is Chaz. I got Chad, Anthony, and Steph. All four of us are in the studio tonight. We're hanging, drinking a little beer, and Chad wants to go to eat. But last weekend was kind of a big deal. The National Invitation Only NAIFC Fishing Tournament, championships, all that kind of stuff. And Anthony, it was a pretty good drive out there.
Oh, yeah. 13 hours.
Each way.
Each way. It was definitely a good time. We got to ride with Mr. Dave Young. So.
Oh, I bet that was educational.
That was a pleasure.
It's always something.
Mm-hmm. I got learned a lot about tight lining around that line. That ride.
A seminar on the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only way to fish.
You should be an expert by now.
Well, I learned how terrible I am because I'm not an expert tight liner.
Well, now, you guys, that was out on what lake?
Mille Lacs.
Now, where in Wisconsin is Mille Lacs?
It's not in Wisconsin. It's in Minnesota.
Well, see, now let's straighten this out. Let's get it going.
How about an hour and a half north of the Twin Cities?
Isle, Minnesota.
An Isle. Yep.
Yeah. Isle. All right. Well, Chad, you had it all figured out because you were just out in St. Paul for the ice show, right?
I did not go to Mille Lacs.
No, but you went to the...
Yeah, I went to the ice show.
Sometimes it's
I thought you said I had it figured out.
I'm going to get my forceps and pull answers out of these guys yet tonight. But anyway, so how was the weather conditions out there?
The weather was awesome.
Yeah, weather was good.
It was about perfect for ice fishing.
35 degrees.
Oh, man.
14 inches of ice.
Now, were you practicing for worlds and hand cranking these babies, or were you, pulling the power?
Are you crazy?
There was no hand cranking of the augers, but... I didn't turn on my electronics once and used a palm rod the whole time. So
nice. Now
I used a fish finder.
You had the Tanaka and the Vexlar out, or did you get the LX6 out?
The six.
All right. So
and a 20. So
20. You know, 14. 14 inches of ice. That's pretty good. Pretty good ice. So you guys could roam wherever you wanted out there. Now, how early did you guys go out for the tournament?
We left on Tuesday, got out there Wednesday.
So you had two solid days on the ice of scouting?
3 days, pretty much.
3 days? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And now, do they do, like with the tournaments here, a big night before rules review and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's we have a kids clinic one night.
Yep. There's the kids clinic where, you know, they go over
ice safety
and all the new stuff for keep warm.
We did a jigging demonstration and a little bit of talking, trying to get info out of the kids.
HT gave everybody rods?
I think HT gave everybody rods.
Every kid got a rod.
The kids were the insiders that knew where all the fish were. And you
we did have one kid that was giving us information. He's like 15, 16, maybe even older.
I did get a hot tip. And
I didn't pay him. I mean, they were there before, I guess.
We found fish up there, but they were not the size.
Not quality fish.
So there's an important point, guys. Don't always
get information anywhere.
But don't always take the kids, local kids, as gospel, but...
You got to look, though.
Got to look.
Don't underestimate them.
Nope.
No, I mean, especially if they get out of school every day and go fish that lake, that might be a good thing.
They live there, so. Yeah.
That might be a good thing. So, now, you guys, it's 2 days of fishing out there, right?
Two days of fishing.
Is that an 8-and-8 tournament?
No, this was 16 or whatever you want.
Normally, it is an 8-and-8 tournament. Yep.
Bluegill, crappie, or perch this year, though.
So, 16, whatever...
16 if you wanted to win, crappies if you wanted to lose, perch, bluegills if you wanted to be in the middle. We tried to explain this to people, and they didn't like it. Perch were fun, but you're a donator.
Based on last year's weight and the way that the crappies were biting, a lot of teams decided that they would chase perch instead of the crappies this year in hopes that the weight would counteract the crappies.
You got to go for the crappies.
But you got to try for crappies.
Dell and Miguel, I think, got the best perch bag, like 508, something like that.
Yep, they did best for the guys that went out perching.
508, that was less than a third of the crappie.
But still a good Michigan showing for the perch guys, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
They beat all the perch guys, and, you know.
Yep, they did.
Well, that's
cool. Good.
That's cool.
Big up to Dell and Miguel.
Anthony, you and your partner, what kind of bag did you end up bringing in?
We ended up the first day turning in 11 crappies. We caught 16 crappies, but just the five just were not bigger than even the bluegills. So we ended up with 7 pounds that day. And the next day we made the wrong decision, stayed in the community hole, and didn't go for glory, and, you know, ended up losing big time. So we took 14th to finish off with, I think, 11 pounds or something like that.
And there was 70 teams?
Yeah, 70 teams.
That's a pretty good showing. And this is an invitational, guys. And now, any of you that are new to understanding about this, we've got some links to the NAIFC out on our page. And you have to place in a tournament or finish top 10 in one of the lead-ups to get an invitation?
Yeah, top 10 automatically gets a bid, and then it goes by points for the year. And then it'll go down lower. If some guys double up, like fish different partners or qualify at multiple events, so they go down the board a ways, and then they go to some other circuits, like we had some guys out of Vermont that came out. They do I think James Vlitica has a tournament series out there, and they invite teams from there. And
the Northeastern Circuit.
Yeah, the Northeastern Circuit, they invite, like, their top five teams, so they do open it up. And then I think they were going to... I think this year they're going to be trying to push for Minnesota and Wisconsin. They have some high school ice fishing teams. I think they're going to give some of the kids a free invite, like maybe the top couple kids out of each state.
That's awesome.
So that'll be pretty cool.
That'll be a great experience for those kids.
Yep.
On the NAIFC tournaments, the top 30 is awarded points.
Yep. 30. When you get the top 30 in a tournament, you get 1 point for 30 or 30 points for first.
In every qualifier.
Yeah, at every qualifier. That's how you get your points.
Mm-hmm. And what are there? About a dozen NIAFCs?
There's seven this year. Seven qualifiers. We go to, we got North Dakota coming up that me and Anthony will be at. Then off to Montana. And then South Dakota. And then I think it is Chisago Lake, Minnesota. And then I think it's Croton after that.
Croton, bringing it home.
Then Indiana, and then we end the year in Menominee, Wisconsin, which is a fantastic lake.
I think the Croton tournament's February 18th, too.
So. Is that what it is?
Menominee is great for late ice.
Oh, it's killer. But Croton's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I think we're gonna at least take the MI Ice Guys show on the road for that one.
Yep, interview.
We're going to do some I've got a little pop-up hunt we're going to set up. I got on the big diesel truck. I got power for us to power the whole rig. So we'll be recording and hopefully talking to a lot of the other competitors out there at the Croton. Since it's in the backyard, well, Steph's backyard and Chad's backyard, Anthony's for that matter too, and it's not that far a drive for me. We're gonna participate with that. Now, Chad, your team, how'd you do?
We ended up 7th after the first day. I think we had 895, and so we started the tournament in 20th. In 20th place, we started in line. So it goes day two is how you finish day one. So we ended up starting 7th on day two. Went to our spot we wanted, caught a couple little bluegills, and just started trolling through everybody's stuff. Moved out to the pack with about 2.5 hours left, the other group that Anthony referred to. And we ended up catching 13.81 pounds out there in the 2.5 hours we were there.
A good day, too.
Yep. So that bumped us up to second place overall.
Well, congratulations. There we go. One of our guys out there doing it, Anthony, made a big show. Steph, you didn't make the trip this year. You and I decided that we had things to do in Michigan. You were poking at deer, and I was smoking turkeys for a big party.
It was good, too.
Oh, it was good turkey.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, you know, guys, if you've never been out to one of these tournaments,
you'll learn a lot. You'll never forget it.
Meet a lot of
the Croton is going to be an awesome opportunity.
Yep. That'll be 8 bluegills, 8 crappie, 2-man teams. There'll be a Friday night seminar, a Saturday morning kids clinic, and then the tournament Sunday morning from, I think, 8 to 1, weigh-ins at 3, even if you just want to come out and check the weigh-in out.
Or come up for the seminar.
Yep. Yeah, the rules and seminar is a great opportunity.
The Friday night seminars get to meet a lot of the good guys and hear some fishing stories and learn a little bit.
You come up to the weigh-ins and pick the guys' brains and learn a little bit.
After the tournament's over, a lot of guys will give you help, give you spots, give you tips on how to catch them. I mean, it's well worth your time if you like ice fishing.
So what were your keys out at the national championship? Was there a hot lure, hot color?
Our key was just showing more baits to more fish, I guess. We were just trying to find more fish.
Hole hopping a lot?
Yeah, most teams sat in their area or sat in their shacks, and we covered water.
Meat or plastic?
I actually caught them on both.
All right, good deal.
It was bubble gum, though.
That's my favorite color.
Everybody was running bubble gum.
Yeah.
Bubble gum's good. Bubble gum's good.
But our key was just trying to show it to more fish.
Moving around a lot.
Yep.
Yep.
We were probably the only team that really covered water that hard for both days.
Could your partner keep up with you?
Yeah.
Myron and Dave will cover
They covered a lot of water, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, they didn't cover it like we did, though, I don't think.
And I think they were jigging a little too aggressive,
too. And the second day, I mean, they just didn't move that much.
Right. Now, Anthony, what was your colors?
My colors ended up being hot pink.
Yeah, red and pink were the colors of jigs that people were using.
I used a lot of different colors, and I caught a lot of bluegills. As soon as I switched to the hot pink, started to get the crappies to go. So,
plastic or meat?
Meat.
You were a meat guy.
Yep, I ran my palm rods all day. Didn't go over a size 3 mil.
Yep, I ran 3 millimeter jigs too.
What palm test did you use on your palm rods?
Two.
Did you? All right.
Biggest crappie I landed was 1 pound 10 ounces or something like that.
Awesome.
1 pound 10 ounces.
But that was
or,
fun.
1 pound.
1.1.
1.1 pounds. Yeah, that was what it was.
There was a 2.08 pound crappie caught.
Awesome. Yeah,
there was two fish over 2 pounds and two fish right under 2 pounds. Our biggest fish was a 1.43, I think, or 1.45.
So, guys, if you're listening, I mean, just coming up to the weigh-in, I've been to a number of these weigh-ins, and it is just really cool to see these and then see the guy pull the big fish out, because a lot of the tournaments have a big fish category.
Yep, and it's a tiebreaker in our tournament series, so if you it does happen. Last year in North Dakota, the team that won it, they had a tagged bigger fish. They tied with, I think, 11, I don't know for sure what the weight was, but it was like 11-8-1. Both teams had, but they had a bigger big fish, so they won the tiebreaker, and that's first place over second place.
Yeah.
Every ounce counts. Yep.
And you get into a little money. I mean, what was top money out at the championship this year?
$7,500 for the winners.
That's some nice money.
And then the rings, the value of the rings is just under $6,000.
Rings, like Super Bowl rings?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what everybody's fishing for.
Awesome.
Yep. Everybody wants the bling.
Yep. The wood and the rings.
Get some, yeah.
All the rings.
All right, well, we're not going to touch that. But, oh, hey, guys.
It's a wood trophy is what I was referring to. It's a wood plaque.
Hey, we weren't going there.
All right. Well, guys, just, you know, hey, NAIFC, it's kind of taking the Midwest by storm with the fishing, and these guys have been doing some great things to it. Participating, making a great showing and stuff, and if you want to get involved, remember that Croton tournament's coming up. We're going to have all kinds of postings on that on miiceguys.com. You'll also see it on our Facebook. And from our Facebook, you can probably find Steph, Chad, Anthony, and myself. If you want to contact us, follow us, or you can jump on miiceguys.com and hit that Ask an Ice Guy a Question. And it sends an email out to all of us, and hopefully one of us remembers to answer while we're not out busy fishing. But, hey, remember, put that ice report in that you've got in your area. And if you want to even send us a photo, feel free to do that. You got contact information right on the webpage. But we're going to be right back with some really hot news. Some really exciting things are coming up. But we got to get a beer. We'll be right back.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. My choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Cheese, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoe's. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
Hey guys, welcome back. As promised, we have news to reveal. Steph, are you ready to tell them?
I'm ready.
Chad, are you ready to tell them?
Why not?
Anthony, why don't you tell them?
We're all going to Finland.
We're going to Finland, baby.
Going to Finland.
And we're already starting to learn Finnish words. I know a few from college. And we've learned that
Google Translate.
Google Translate is going to be our friend. So right here, you can hear it.
Kuinka paksu on jäätä?
We're going to learn Finnish through Google Translate.
Help us.
What did we just say here?
Oh, we said how thick is the ice?
Well, it's going to be too thick, so we don't need to know that. It's the end of March in northern Finland, 200 miles south of the, Arctic Circle?
In the Arctic Circle.
Are we in the Arctic Circle?
I thought it was 200 miles south of the Arctic.
It might be.
It's pretty much
the Arctic Circle.
We're going to Kuopio, Finland. A lot of people asked me, they said, is there going to be, how far are the lakes and everything? Well, if you pull it up, Kuopio, and we'll put a link out on, because spelling in Finnish is a little bit different. They don't use the same alphabet. But it's like there's an island and there's a city on it, and the rest of it's lakes.
There's lots pretty of lakes much. Up there.
So
the lake's what, 60 miles long or something?
Oh, no, it's hundreds of miles long.
Oh, never mind. It's huge.
Miles.
It doesn't end, really.
It's a sea.
It goes all the way up into the Arctic Circle.
Dudes, we got to learn kilometers and metric shit.
No, we don't.
It's vast.
We'll be fishing
some bays.
How many meters thick is the ice?
A lot. Hopefully it's not more than one.
Anyway, as we said, we're all going to Finland for the World Championships. We have all been placed on the U.S. ice fishing team and been asked to go in various capacities to represent the great red, white, and blue and show them how to drill some holes, catch some fish, and I'm going to flirt up some Finnish girls. Yeah, the married guys are laughing at me. But anyway, at the end of March, we are going to be traveling to Finland, and I'm going to throw an offer out right now to my Ice Guys listeners. If you're interested in a private feed We do have some expenses to go to Finland. You know, they don't just fly us for free and stuff. We are going to put together a private media feed that if you want the latest updates, how many fish we got, how thick the ice is, how hot the girls are, what they're feeding us, how bad the flight was. You know, when Chad gets to sit next to his favorite buddies all the way across.
Anthony's first bite of blood cake.
You had to mention blood cake.
Yeah, blood cake.
They know I'm super looking forward to the blood cake.
We're going to be learning so much as we go off there.
Oh, yeah.
And
the food's going to be crazy. The fish is going to be phenomenal, hopefully, from what we hear.
So we've got a team of 10 that are going to be the active ice participants. 11.
11.
We do have media personnel. We have coaches, wise old guys that have been elected up onto the what's his job on the World Commission there?
Jurist? We have our translator usually gets voted into the jury. This year he's up in the air on it because we might need him to help out on the team instead of being a jury member.
Sean, I need you.
Yeah, but we got one video girl, Kelly Gotch, from Michigan. We got three fishermen from Michigan, me, Anthony, and Myron Gilbert. We got two spotters from Michigan, Steph and Chaz. And we got two Illinois guys, Bob Espenson, Mike McNett. And we got, I think, two Wisconsin guys, Sam Gruitt and Nick Schertz, who's a fisherman, so is Bob Espenson. So I think that's the whole team.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun over there. And MI Ice Guys is going to be able to drink some more beer. We're going to try our best to provide the best coverage for you guys back here at home in the Great Lakes State of what's going on in the world, because we have the controlling interest now of the majority of the team. So Michigan is a priority when we go to Finland.
Michigan always is when we go overseas. We're usually well represented.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to teach him some lessons. Chad says I have to help with the drinking lessons. And,
you will not teach these guys how to drink. I'm sorry to let you know. They're professionals.
Yeah.
They'll put you to bed. So am I. But anyway, now some of the other things that everybody out there is wondering about. Last year we talked a little bit while you were getting ready. You were really busy last year getting ready to go.
Yeah, I'm a last minute kind of guy, so.
And we talked that, you know, this is all manual. We don't get to take our Vexlars and Markhams to fishing competition.
Nope. No electronics, no power equipment, no GPS.
Hand drilling them augers in the meters, and that was plural, meters of ice.
There better not be meters of ice. There won't be.
Chad's shoulder is auger already extensions. Feeling it.
It's crying. There won't be meters of ice. There's an ice limit. They cannot go over so much ice for the competition. They have to move it.
But it's going to be a different thing than running out on your neighborhood pond here. And, you know, all the great toys that we've talked about in the episodes that you've listened to before, a lot of them we got to leave at home. And all as Anthony, them. Well, Anthony gets to bring his palm rods.
Yeah,
we get palm rods, we get blood worms, we get ground baits and chum.
Jigs.
You can use the schoolies.
Schoolies, yep. Any rod and reel you want. Yep. Chum is the big thing over there.
Mm. Now, Anthony, let's talk chum.
We can talk chum.
Now, what everybody knows about, okay, we're salmon fishermen here in West Michigan. Everybody knows chumming over the back of the boat, and that's a different thing. But chumming, we see it in Shark Week. Is it similar?
You got this one.
I wouldn't say it's as similar as is in Shark Week, no. But.
Okay, so we're taking some bait. We're going to grind it up. And we're going to put it down the hole to try and attract fish to the hole. Because, you know, Steph and I have talked many times about our ice trolling where we drill in one hand and bucket with the other. And we're looking for the fish. And in these circumstances, we're trying to draw the fish to us.
And you're setting your holes up, getting the fish to feed, and then feeding in the active school or trying to catch the active school that's coming in to feed on your bait.
No, so it isn't that much off Shark Week.
You're trying to hold the fish to you instead of going to find the fish.
They're using different kinds of chum, too. They're using wet chum and dry chum.
Well, you're
kind of dry, but...
Yeah, well, we talked about bloodworms.
Yeah, yep. Bloodworms, jockers, that's your wet baits. And spikes, that's considered a wet bait, euro larva, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then wet, you know, they don't have waxworms, I don't think. So if you use them, you're a fool. But bloodworms, you better use. And the chum can be about anything. It'll be pastries. It'll be store-bought with floaters in it. There's stuff that that rises in the water to try to bring the school up to you.
Is that the stripper glitter you told us about?
Yeah, there's probably some of that.
Krispy Kreme.
There's some suspending chums that try to keep the school in the middle, and then there's some bottom feed for the fish that feed on the bottom.
So basically what we're talking about is some form of a mix that you're shoving down the hole. You're dropping it down the hole.
To attract fish to you.
To attract the fish into your where you're jigging.
Yep.
And what types of fish are you trying to attract?
We're going to be going after, that's the big thing on your chum. Depends on the species. Like, when we dealt with the bream last year in Belarus, you wanted to feed on the bottom. Your perch, I think you can do the bottom feed or the suspending bait, but probably your bottom feed. And that's going to be mainly a jock. From what I've heard from past tournaments, when it's a perch bite, it's a jocker feed, but you never know. Every country's different. And then the roaches, you can chum them right up into the hole that you cut. That's how much you can chum them up if you have the right stuff.
So that would be the floating baits.
Yep, the rising baits. And then we do have bottom feeders, which everybody on the team will have. You drop down, and then you give it a good jerk, and it'll open the feeder, and it'll disperse the bait on the bottom. So, you know, we got a little bit of everything. The hard part is just getting the right chum and
now, last year we talked about the Xander. Are the Xander there?
There's Xander there, and they do not want to play a role in the tournament. They want it to be little fish.
Okay.
You know, they want to target your perch, your roach, your rough, your bream. They want it to be your rough fish or your panfish.
Okay, so last year we talked about the Xander in Belarus. And for those of you that don't remember, it's a walleye.
Yeah, but it gets bigger.
Euro walleye.
Yeah. I mean, they get 30 pounds. I caught one in competition that was just short because for some odd reason, Belarus measures to the last scale instead of the end of the tail. It sucks.
And that was a metric, too.
It was centimeters.
Yeah, it makes the number look bigger. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get, you know, we get all the measurements when we're out there. And, you know, before the tournament, we get a measurement of how big. I think they already sent it because salmon are even in this lake.
There's salmon and brown trout.
Yeah. If you catch one of them, oh, boy.
On the palm rod. 1 pound test. Hang on.
1 pound test. 6-inch hole. Here we go.
Wow.
A lot of the competitors they'll go down to smaller. They'll go down to half-pound, quarter-pound tests, but we kind of got a little information that it could be big fish, so might be running 2-pound. We don't really know until we get there.
2-pound and the old schoolie that we wrapped down in Howard City?
It could be.
I'm hoping to learn a lot more about our chum, too.
Yeah, we got to learn. Yeah. We got a guy we're going to try to squeeze some information out of, go visit.
Yep.
And get some information on some chumming. We'll at least learn how to make it.
We got a guy?
We got a guy.
Do I need to bring beer?
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, we'll do
and
it.
Vodka?
It's going to take a lot.
Right. I don't think you can keep up with the beverage that he likes.
Yeah, we can't say it because it'd give it away. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, so we're talking the end of March that, what are we looking at, 23rd, 24th, something of March to take off? We're still flexible on the dates here.
Dates will be set in about another week.
About another week.
We're looking at getting the tickets next week.
Yeah, so it'll just depend how many extra days we're going to be there.
We're gonna go over there. We do get to do a little sightseeing.
Yep, they'll take us on a bus tour of somewhere. They're gonna bring in fishing vendors. I've heard for us to buy stuff if we want, and then we'll be eating like kings and having a good time.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Visiting with all the other countries, fishermen and such,
swapping stories, trading shirts.
Yep, you want to bring some American stuff to trade. You know, even hats and shirts and any little thing you can find.
We'll call Jack. Maybe we get some K&E and do a little swapping. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what they'll go for? But anyway, guys, like we said, you know, it is going to cost us a little something. So if you're interested in that private feed of information that all of us guys are going to be contributing to, and we know we've talked in the previous about Anthony's laptop-sized cell phone that'll be able to take some videos as we're out sightseeing, as we're traveling and things like that. We're all going to try and contribute to that. And Finland has good internet. So we're going to be able to upload some things and send them back here to you guys in the Great Lakes State as we're going off to represent the U.S., show them how ice fishing's done over here, and hopefully it translates well into Finland. Maybe we'll even bring home a little bit of bling to show off and to you guys. I know Chad's brought bling home in the past from other countries and
other states.
Other states. Oh, that's right. It was a state. No,
nobody's meddled overseas yet.
You've gotten one here.
Yeah, but we'll get some stuff. But anyway, guys, we're going to come back. We're going to bring this train to the station to borrow Joppy's line from the grilling guys and wrap up with a couple little things that we got to do. And then Chad says we got to go get something to eat because he's starving to death.
So this is going to be a 30-second break.
So we're the MI Ice guys. Remember, post those ice depths out there. We needed that. Ice thicknesses on our fancy map. If you got a local bait shop that, you know, you can pester them and tell them that all the time everybody's just asking them about ice depths. They can print our map if you're helping out and putting thicknesses on there and put it up on the bait cooler and show other people. And it has a link right on there so that people will be able to contribute and put some information out there so that when you're taking the kids or taking buddies and teaching others our great sport of ice fishing, you'll be able to find some really good ice. We're the MI Ice Guys, MIIceGuys.com. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. You got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us Facebook.com/MIIceGuys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Guys, welcome back. We're all giggles and grins around here. We've been telling each other some really great stories about what's been going on the last few weeks. And we want to wrap things up today with a couple of little announcements. One of them, many of you may have seen an email or a posting that I put out. We're trying to put together an invitational day. Not a tournament. It's just, you know, come out and fish. Let's have fun. We're thinking the end of January, going to get together up by Chad's house, actually, up there, Maston Lake, and the associated lakes around the area of Blue and Black and Muskellunge, where Steph's dad has a cabin there. And
Little Muskellunge.
Yep. Yeah.
Lincoln Lake.
Yeah, the whole chain. And we're thinking, you know, we're going to be up there just fishing and fooling around, running around our quads. We'd like to meet guys that are listening and following the craziness of our advice and talk on this stuff. So if you're interested in that, make sure that you subscribe on our page to the updates so that you'll see an announcement on that. We don't want everybody and their brother, just our good listeners. Our buddies, we're going to invite a whole bunch of people to come and hang out. There might even be a couple of manufacturers. I know Jack from K&E has expressed interest if it works into his schedule to come over. And we're going to try and get as many guys there as possible. So,
and we'll have some freebies to give away as well.
Yeah, we'll have some loot. But yeah. Also, one of the big things that we want to make sure that we do with you guys is to just be able to spend some time one-on-one with you when we're out there on the ice hanging out. And share those things. So as we're all looking for that ice, we want to stress that we want to make things very safe out there because we like fishing buddies. We love hearing the stories that all of you have to tell. If you're close around Grand Rapids, feel free to stop by the brewery, hang out. Steph and I are around once in a while. Well, okay, I'm here all the damn time. But Chad and Anthony, they even pop in from time to time. You'll hear wild fishing stories, and you'll meet a lot of other great fishermen that hang around as well and things like that. So coming up, where do you think we're going to see the – what types of lakes, Steph? are going to be our best bets coming up?
Coming up before Christmas is going to be your small, shallow basin lakes are going to freeze up the first. And then by the 10-day forecast, though, look out, because it's game on. I'm looking at highs of 16, low of 10. That's right around New Year's. It's going to be game on come after New Year's.
And as soon as we see that skim ice form, then ice makes fast.
Yep. I know me and Anthony have been, we talked about it last year, trying to get a group of guys out to help us train, probably on like Truefant Lake, it's Musk Lounge Lake in Truefant, sometime probably February, do some little training. I know you guys will have to come out and spot for us.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some spotting, but it'd be really great to have a group of guys out
to just fish against us and, you know,
help the team.
Have a little competition.
Yeah.
Not for any, you know, maybe we'll give surprises or something, but just
I bet we can arrange some loot.
Oh, yeah. We can arrange something.
And I bet we can talk Steph's dad into cooking some soup.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
But we just want to have a little competition so we practice up on the rules and have our spotters get some practice and just have a good old time.
Do some fastest to 25.
Yeah, do some fastest to 25. Do some
more speed than weight competitions.
And if you guys want to throw down, maybe we'll even throw a little throw down fundraiser deal going about racing these guys on hand augering.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, racing the hand augers, huh?
You know, everybody I talk to is enamored by the fact that we don't get to use power augers at World. And I keep bragging about my boys here that, you know, I've seen the videos and you guys have seen them on MIice, guys, that Chad cranking a hole. And I mean, he cranks a pretty fast hole.
Come on out and
just
go
not
head
very
to,
many.
Come on out and go head to, go head to head with Shab on the 4-inch augers.
Maybe you can win some bling. You know, maybe we'll just have a little throw in to raise some money for the team.
Yeah.
But we'll do some I like the fastest to 25 race, too.
Yeah, that's fastest 25 fish is a really great race.
And we'll be teaching. Yeah, we'll be teaching people and showing them some stuff.
The techniques.
You know. Many of you probably have never even fished with a palm rod. Yep. So, you know, the guys will have a few spares there. They'll set you down on the ice. You kneel down and...
Yeah, we'll teach you whatever, you know.
It's a whole new addiction.
Be a good learning experience for a lot of folks.
Oh, I mean, if you think you got your game on with your other regular stuff...
Well, I hear from a lot of people that think they can, no problem, to catch 100 fish in an hour, but it's a little different when you actually sit down and try to do it.
Yeah.
So. While drilling your holes and everything included. In
so look forward to that, guys. We want to engage
a
little more.
There. We'll throw a date out there maybe next episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And be sure to hit that subscribe button down at the very bottom of the page on miiceguys.com. Feel free to drop us a note through the Ask a Nice Guy, and we're going to even add Anthony to the list on that so that he can weigh in with his opinions. And believe me, when the three of us in the past year have answered questions, you don't get a textbook answer out of all three of us. It's an opinion.
And we appreciate the questions. I know I got a few more to answer out there, but we've gotten quite a few recently here in the past
week. Yeah, I'm a couple behind, too, but we'll get on those.
I'm probably the way behind.
Break. No such thing as a dumb question.
No, we love to engage with an ice session.
There's one dumb question. I've heard it. We have to have water in our buckets for our tournaments. Where do you get the water? You cut a hole and you scoop water out.
Seriously, people?
It's the only dumb one.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. Yeah, that one. Well, we're going to wrap this thing up, bringing the train to the station, as we said.
We're going before. To eat.
Chad is starving to death. He confessed that all he had was cinnamon rolls today, and it's just not keeping his big girlish figure. I wish I could close this show out with the big main and Megan Trainor. It's all about the bass. But bass are going to be out of season here in a few days, and we need to go have some dinner. So, guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you get on the website there, miiceguys.com. Give us your ice reports. Give us your feedback. We love to hear from you guys. Using the Ask an Ice Guy is an excellent way to do it. We're going to finish up our beers, get out of here, and talk to you next time. Be safe on that ice, buddies.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.